We are doing the Rambam Shmona Pratim. We're holding in the middle of the fourth chapter. What we had seen is the Rambam had stressed that we should always strive for the middle path, the balanced path. And we had ended with the Rambam proving his point. The Rambam had brought an example from the Nazir. That the Gemara says the Nazir, one who takes a vow not to drink wine, has to bring a sacrifice, a chatat, chatas offering, to atone for a sin. And the Gemara says, what sin did he do? He took a vow he won't drink wine. So the Gemara says that he deprived himself from one of the basic pleasures that God gave man, one of the foods that God gave man, and for that he needs atonement. And the Rambam said, we could derive from that someone wants to deprive himself of all pleasure, certainly will need atonement. That's not the way to serve Hashem. The Rambam had said that sometimes when a person feels like he has to get balanced and he's been enjoying life too much, he's been spending his time chasing after worldly things, so he has to go to the opposite extreme in order to get balanced. But, says the Rambam, don't make it an ideal. The ideal is the middle path, the balanced path, the holy path. Sometimes in order to get to the middle, we see that tzaddikim sometimes go to the opposite extreme in order to help themselves balance themselves. And we're holding next to the number 29 in Rav Kapach's edition of the Rambam.
So they shouldn't stay there, even the tzaddikim.
Right, even the tzaddikim shouldn't stay there. So we're holding page Reish Nun Dalit, page 245. We're in the right column. Towards the bottom there's a number 29. If you give me the English, I'll try to find it.
29 page.
What?
29.
What page on your edition? Let me see, I don't know.
Vegam
Divrei in Vienna. We're somewhere around page 31, towards the bottom of the page. As we read, you should be able to find this. Okay,
yes.
Somewhere over here. וגם בדברי נביאים וחכמי תורתנו מצאנו שהם תמיד מתנהגים במצוות שומרים נפשם וגופם כמו שחיווה אותם תורה. And also in the words of our prophets and our sages, we find that they always act in a balanced fashion and they watch their souls and their bodies the way the Torah obligates us. וישיב השם יתעלה על ידי נביאו למי ששאל התענית יום אחד בשנה. And God responded to a person who asked about a fast one day a year, האם יתמיד כך או לא, should he continue fasting that one day a year? והוא אמרן לזכריה, and that's what God told the prophet Zechariah. If you look at the footnote, you should be able to locate it now because we're quoting from Zechariah chapter 7, Pasuk Gimel, the third Pasuk. So God told him, הייבכה בחול שחמישי, הנזר כאשר עשיתי זה כמה שנים. He asked him, should I cry, should I weep, should I fast on the fifth month, the way I have accustomed myself, deprived myself for a number of years. וישיבם, קיצמתם וספות בחמישי ובשביעי זה 70 שנה, הצום צמתוני אני, וכי תאכלו וכי תשתו, לא אתם האוכלים ואתם השותים. The prophet gives them an answer that's a little bit unclear.
The prophet tells them, all the years that you've been fasting, have I fasted? When you eat and drink, you're the ones that eat and drink. Vitzivautam, so over here there are different explanations as to what Zechariah was answering them. They asked him, 70 years we've been in Babylon, we've been fasting and crying over the destruction of the temple. Now the temple's been rebuilt, but the temple isn't where it should be, and the Jews aren't where they should be. Where it's not like everything's been solved. On the other hand, the temple is rebuilt. Should we continue fasting and crying on Tisha B'Av? Should we continue fasting? I think it was Tisha B'Av there. Should we continue fasting and crying over the destruction of the temple? This is what they asked the Navi Zechariah during the period, the beginning of the second temple. And the prophet answers them, God says, when you fasted, I fast, you're the ones that fasted, you're the ones that eat. What did God mean by that? So the Rambam says that what God meant was, V'tzivautam b'mitzua u'malot bilvad. And the prophet commanded them, explains the Rambam, to be balanced and attain the proper levels in the service of Hashem, and that alone is what they should do. Lo b'tzom, not that they should fast, v'hu umro lahem, and that's what the prophet tells them, ko'amar Hashem tzvakot lemor, mishpat emet shiftu, this is what God says. Make sure to judge in a just fashion. V'chesed v'rachamim asu ish et achiv, and do kindness and be compassionate one with his brother. V'amar achar kach, and afterwards the prophet says, Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, tzom arviv, tzom chamshi, tzom ashvi, tzom asiri, the prophet of the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, the tenth month, yeh lebet yudal sosom nusimcha. They will be for the house of Judah as a time of rejoicing and happiness, ulmoadim tovim, and for good times. V'aymet v'ashalom ehavu. The prophet tells them, peace and truth, love one another, so to speak. They're a loving pair, peace and truth. So the Rambam says that this is the punchline, that God says these days of fast will be days of rejoicing. So we always understand these psukim as in the time of the third base of Mikdash when the Messiah will come. The Rambam seems to be learning that the Navi Zechariah was telling them, no, in the second temple, God doesn't need your fast. God wants you to go on a balanced fashion. Don't fast. Vidasha emet, when the prophet told them that you guys should love peace and love truth, you should know, says the Rambam, that the truth, they are the elevated traits that are logical, because they are truth, these traits. Now, here we reach something which we'll have to discuss. Is it logical to be kind? Can we connect between good traits and logic? Which is a big debate among philosophers today. Meaning, how could you explain to me logically why it is good to be a kind person? You could explain why it is beneficial, but is there a way of explaining why it is good? Is there something logically good about being good? Can you prove that one way is better than the other? We had a class on this about 2 months ago. We had a class about the connection between kind and truth. Meaning, is there a connection between good traits, between being a good person and being a truthful person? Can you prove that there is a connection between what is good and what is true? Now, we discussed that before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, so there was true and false. There was no good and bad. What was good was equal to what was true, and what was bad was equal to what was false. And after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, suddenly what's good doesn't always seem true, and what's bad doesn't always seem false. And now the world is a confused world. We look at what's good, and sometimes we're not sure which way is good. Everything's confused. And we expanded. We said that throughout the generations, we're summarizing a 45-minute class into 2 minutes. But what we discussed was that throughout the generations, people thought different things were good. Thomas Jefferson signed the Constitution, and he had his slaves. He thought that was good. If you asked him, is he being a good person, he'd say, yes, he was. Go back 150 years and people believed that you have to beat your kids. That's how you educate them, the poor creatures. Until today, there's a movement in the United States trying to ban these books, but there are still books being sold today about how to whip a child, and that part of a parent's job is when the baby is half a year old, the child is trying to control the parent, and the proper education is to whip him and ignore his crying. There are books about this. With a whip? Yeah, they sell whips. There's a movement trying to make it illegal, but right now in the United States it is still legal, and this is something which is around from 100, 150 years ago. So You'll say, yeah, if you whip the child, then you could be taken into court for child abuse. But if you sell the whip, there no one could hold you accountable for that legally in the United States today. So, yeah, it sounds crazy, but if you'd go back 150 years, people believe that part of educating a child is to beat him, you have to train him. And if you go back another 100 years, go back 250 years, so people believe that just like if you're going to train your child, part of training your child is hitting him when he misbehaves, so you have to train your wife. She's no different than a child, and when she misbehaves, you have to hit her as well. This was accepted behavior. We discussed that the Puritans had in their public square a place where if a woman spoke back to her husband, they'd have a special clip which they'd clip on her tongue, and she'd have to stand in the public square for a period of time with her tongue clipped standing out to show that she had been disrespectful to her husband. Now you ask the Puritans, they tried to be good people.
They had a right though.
So even today we see someone here says they had it right. We see that even today you ask people what's good and what's not good, things change. And the only way one can connect between what's good and what's truthful is God. When we have God telling us this is good, then that is eternal. That is one of the strengths of the Torah. That the Torah doesn't change because God created the world, and God says in this world it does not change. What is good is what is true, is what I say is good. And therefore the Torah teaches us how to be good people. And that's why the Torah throughout the ages didn't need to change. We discussed this last year, how revolutionary it was that the Torah says you can adopt Geirim and give them equal treatment. What was going on in the world outside of Judaism to anyone that wanted to join a culture? And people usually attribute this to, some attribute it to Alexander, Alexander's rule, the Greeks' rule. They don't know that the Torah came first, and the Torah taught us that there's a equality, kager ka ezrach. And we gave many examples of the eternal good in the Torah. But the Rambam over here is telling us that we should know that the truth is the traits which are logical, and there are, there's a logical connection between a person improving himself and the truth. Lefishem amitiot, because these traits, says the Rambam, are true. Lo yishtanu, they don't change. It's always good to be a humble person. Well, today I'm not so sure. People are riding around saying they're having they want to have a parade of pride. So you see that people aren't embarrassed to say that they're proud. Meaning to us, we'd be embarrassed to say I'm proud. I'm proud of anything. Anytime you use the word pride, you should be embarrassed to be using that word. Today, the world doesn't have it so clear that to be proud is improper. So the Rambam, nonetheless, is telling us that the good traits are truthful, and therefore the Prophet can tell them you should all love truth and peace, because truth, says the Rambam, is representative of the good traits, because the good traits are true. So we explain that they are true, but to prove them logically, as the Rambam takes as a given, I think that, for me at least, would be difficult. Kamashi is kind of a perek hasheni, as we elaborated in the second chapter, says the Rambam, that the good traits are true. The shalom, and when the Prophet tells them you should love peace, hamalot amidotiyot shebehem yiyah shalom ba'olam. Those are the traits of how a person behaves, that through them there will be peace in the world. So the Rambam breaks it down. There are two ways a person elevates himself. The one is the logical advancements and midot. We discussed that Stephen Hawking emulates Plato, who ate like a pig. No, really. He said, this is my, I have to feed my animalistic side, so this is where I'm an animal. So he'd eat literally like an animal. He'd say, well, what I'm doing now is taking part of the animalistic part of me, so let me be an animal. And Stephen Hawking, one of the great philosophers today, is the same way. When he sits down...
Isn't Stephen Hawking an anti-Semite?
I don't know. But he is a big philosopher, especially when it comes to time and space and black holes. So he also, when he eats like an animal. When the waiter comes, he treats him like a dog, because he says, this is where I'm an animal. He's partially paralyzed, but he does it out of an ideal, not because of his limitations. That's what they wrote. I once read an article about it, and they wrote that he says, I emulate Plato on this point. I think it was Plato. It was either Aristotle or Plato. For some reason, I have in mind it was Plato.
It isn't illegal.
The Rambam says, now I'm coming back to my point. שדבריי כאן אינם אלא בהם, שאינם עושים מה שעושים מעינויי גופותיהם ובטותנו כתיהם, אלא על דרך ההכשרה לכוחות הגוף, כדי שיהיו נוטים כלפי הצד האחד מעט על הדרך שביארנו בפרק זה, שראוי שיהיה אדם כך. And this is what Yosef is near. הרי זה טעות מצדם כמו שנבהר. The Rambam says there are people who aren't balanced and they pain their bodies, and the Rambam here is calling their bluff. The Rambam is saying they're going to say that they're doing this because they want to be pious, and we've explained, says the Rambam, that a person should be a drop off center to balance where his natural tendencies will be. Meaning a person's tendency is to be proud, so a person should be a drop off balance to the side of modesty, a drop more modest. A person's tendency is to be angry, so Yosef, this one's for you. So even though we said that a person is supposed to be balanced, a person is supposed to be, the Rambam said, a drop off balance to stay away from his tendencies on things that the human tendency is to go to bad traits. So the Rambam says, go drop off balance, even though the ideal is the balance, but in order to remain balanced, we say go drop to the other extreme a little bit. So the Rambam says there are people who pain their bodies and they don't allow themselves to enjoy life, and they'll claim that they want to prepare their bodies to be proper, and they're only doing this just as the pious are drop off center. But in truth, says the Rambam, they're doing this because they have learned to be like the nations. Meaning this is not a Jewish concept, this is a concept of other religions. And they have made themselves like these other religions, but they want to justify their actions by saying, we're like the pious, we're just a drop off center. The Rambam says this is a mistake on their behalf, as we will explain. והוא שהתורה לא אסרה מה שאסרה וצוותה מה שצוותה כי היא מסיבה זו. When the Torah told us that certain things are forbidden and certain things are permitted and we have certain commandments, the following is the reason. כלומר, כדי שנתרחק מן הצד האחד יותר. The reason is, the Rambam says, to distance us from one extreme. על דרך ההכשרה, so to speak, to keep us kosher. כי אסור כל המאכלות האסורות. The Torah said, for example, all the following foods are forbidden. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher animals. So the Torah forbade certain foods for the Jews. ואסור הביות האסורות. The Torah said, you're forbidden from having relations with a whole list of people. A mother, a married woman, a daughter-in-law, a daughter, a granddaughter, a whole list the Torah enumerates. והזרה על הקדושה. The Torah warned us to be holy. וחיוב כתובת קדושין. And the Torah said, you want to live with a woman? So do it in a holy fashion. You have to engage her, you have to marry her, you have to write her a contract, what you owe her. Do it in a manner that's holy. This isn't a fly-by shooting. You want to marry a woman, marry her. The Torah made it into a holy thing. ואם כל זה אינה מותר תמיד. And even so, when a person's married to his wife, he's not allowed to be with her whenever he wants. The Torah says there's a part of the month when she's pure, there's a part of the month when she's forbidden. אלא אסורה בזמני הנידה והלידה, when she's a nida during her period, or when after she has given birth, a woman is forbidden to her husband. ולא עוד, אלא שעשו זקנינו הגבלות כדי למת בתשמיש. Our sages also wanted to limit us not to spend all our free times having relations with our wife, because the human tendency, at least the male human tendency, is to try and do that as much as he can. So our sages limited us a little bit more than the Torah did. וזהו מזה ביום. So for example, our sages said a person... What?
Torah knows us too well.
So... I'll quote to you what Rabbi Feinstein once told me. I was young, and he told me to start going out. So I said, does the Rav know how young I am? I want to wait a little bit. So he said, the Gemara says that when a person hits a certain age, you should start going out. So I said, yeah, but the Gemara and Allah also says that if a person feels like his Yetzer is not overtaking him, so if he wants to learn, he may delay getting married, he should learn. So Rabbi Feinstein said, yeah, well, the normal person, when he hits the teenage years, once he's ready, 18, 19, his Yetzer is overtaking him. And if a person tells you that his Yetzer isn't overtaking him, then either he's not normal or he's a liar. That's what Rabbi Feinstein told. There was one exception in the Gemara. There was one Tana of Benazai who said, I could do it. One. That means all the other Tanaim didn't say that. So that's what, in answer to what you're saying, is this a generalization? Yeah, is it? So it's generally true. There could be an exception, but it's exceptional to have an exception. It seems like in many generations there was one exception. It happens to be that that exception is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. That means there could be an exception today. There could be one or two people in a generation who they're holy enough that they could learn Torah and they could say, I don't have to get married. I'm the Torah is my wife. It's a mitzvah to get married, but there could be a person who's on the level that he doesn't have to get married so long as he's delving in Torah. There could be such an exceptional person in the world. The Torah does allow him to do that. I didn't say it's holiness. I said the average 99.999% of the people who will tell you this have a problem. Either they're lying to themselves or they have a problem. But there could be an exceptional person who is normal, who is holy, but this is going to be one person in 100 years who doesn't have a problem, who's holy.
I don't understand why it would make...
Okay, he has a mitzvah to get married. Benazai, he himself who didn't get married... For sure, he himself said, Ben Azai did not get married. He said, anyone who doesn't get married is destroying the world. He has a whole long speech in the Gemara about how terrible it is that a person doesn't, if a person doesn't get married and doesn't bring kids to the world. So then they asked him, and what about you? So he said, what can I do? I'm too stuck to the Torah. So the question is, what did he mean by that? So one opinion says that he got married and got divorced. It didn't work. Which would indicate like that things the direction you were saying. And one answer is that there is such a thing that a person can be so steeped and delved into the Torah that he can delay marriage indefinitely. There is such a possibility, and that's how we go la halacha, that a person who, if there is such a person in the world. And again, this would be one in a generation, maybe. We see in the time of the Gemara, it seems like there was one that the Gemara gives us an example of. So that if there is such a person, and it's not like you said that he has psychological problems, but rather that he's so holy, so then he does have the basis to do that. But, just saying, he wants them.
If he didn't get married, what does he know about how great it is to get married?
So that's a good question. I'll strengthen that question. The Gemara in Sota discusses how long certain parts of marital relations take. Meaning it has halachic relevance for a woman who's alone in the room with a man, and we want to know, could something have occurred there? So the Gemara discusses what's the minimum amount of time that something could have happened. So Ben Azai expresses an opinion. So the Gemara asks, how does he know? Ben Azai was never married, according to the understanding that he was never married. So the Gemara offers two answers. Either Sod Hashem Nireav, the pasuk says in Mishlei that God gives a secret to his God-fearing men, meaning if a person's on level of Ben Azai, he knows things just because God gives him a secret. For example, the Ravid on the Rambam, when he's discussing the Rambam's opinion about the holiness of the Temple Mount today, can one ascend, can one not ascend? So the Ravid says, and in my base medrash it became revealed with Sod Hashem Li Reyav, God gave away his secret to us, and I'm writing the following thing because God gave me his secret. What does the Ravid mean by that? So it's a good question. But even Rishonim, we see the Ravid could use this term, and the Gemara does use this term. The Gemara says that's how one understanding how Ben Azai knew this measurement. The other understanding that Gemara says is he had a tradition from his rabbein. He had a tradition regarding this halacha. What's the minimum amount of time that a sota, if she's alone in the room with the man, we're worried that something happened.
What's the minimum time?
So there are about seven opinions in that Gemara. What is the minimum time? The Gemara says that the amount of time it takes to roast an egg, to swallow an egg, to eat a piece of bread. The Gemara gives all kinds of measurements. The amount of time it takes an average branch.
The average eating time.
No, it's not kedeachilas pras. doesn't mean gedachas pras. It means the amount of time it would take to reach your hand into a basket, take a piece of bread and put it in your mouth. Doesn't mean to eat 3 eggs worth of bread. That's gedachas pras. That's 3 minutes, 4 minutes. It's much less than that. At any rate, let's get back to our Rambam. So we had said that a person has to be balanced, and the Rambam said that the Torah, when it forbids certain things, is helping us purify ourselves, and therefore the Torah already keeps us in check. The person doesn't have to add prohibitions. The Torah already told us that certain things are forbidden, and one of the examples the Rambam gave is that the Torah tells us we're forbidden to be with our wives when she has her period, and for 7 days after that until she goes to mikveh, and after she gives birth. And furthermore, says the Rambam, our sages wanted also to minimize our times that we spend with our wives, and our sages told us we shouldn't have relations during the day, as we explained, the Rambam says in our explanation on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Doesn't say in the Torah that all of this God didn't command us, the only reason God commanded us all of these commandments, says the Rambam, and again we discussed yesterday, does it really mean this is the only reason for the mitzvos? So we discussed that there are many understandings, but the Rambam says a major point as to why the Torah tells us all these commandments is to distance us from being very materialistic. And the Torah distanced us from the middle ground, says the Rambam, by the fact that the Torah forbade certain foods, forbade us being with certain women, forbade us from being with our wives at certain times. The Torah took us out of the middle path, says the Rambam, and moved us a drop off of the middle path, a drop towards the extreme of being too ascetic. So that will strengthen within ourselves that tendency to be able to hold ourselves back. Right. Yeah.
And just from this concept of the two extremes, and what is the middle? The perception of, did you speak about it? I don't know.
The whole beginning of the chapter was about that.
Eliashev today mentioned this concept of what is in the middle. Is what is the middle way connected to what is on the extremes, or the middle way is in itself, I think the Rambam mentions it, or that the middle way is in itself truth, is not that the middle way is what is in between.
I think the Rambam said the exact opposite here.
That's why I'm bringing this.
The Rambam said that the middle way is the what's in between the two extremes. That's what the Rambam said. That's what
so
we saw.
He's saying that the middle way is the ideal, but there are certain cases. Well, we have to
saying that
what he was saying in class was it's not an average. You don't say here's one extreme, here's the other extreme, we take the average and that's the middle. He said we start with truth is the middle, and then
okay.
He was saying philosophically,
which was a bit different from what the Rambam said, right?
Well, I'm not sure it's different.
He's saying based on the Rambam
because I think that what the Rambam's telling us is that the way of the Torah is the truth, it's the right way. If a person were coming philosophically without the Torah, the person would not come to the Torah. The person would be on a middle ground which is a little different than the Torah. What the Rambam explained until now is that the middle ground is in between two extremes. And what the Rambam is telling us now is that the Torah, by prohibiting certain things, certain foods, certain actions, certain times, the Torah has moved us a drop off of the middle ground so that we will be closer to being people who contain themselves, hold themselves back.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
What?
Yeah, I hear what he's saying, because that's Rabbi Yisrael is saying that the middle ground is the truth, but we know the Torah is the truth. So then it sounds like if the Torah is saying the Torah is a little bit more to the left of the truth, or right, conservative than the truth.
Here that's what the Rambam is saying, that
so the middle ground doesn't seem to be,
maybe it's geographical,
fundamental or kind of,
I think that
you have to follow
the Rambam saying follow it as best as you can together with the guidelines of the Torah, meaning when it comes to traits, Should a person be proud? Should a person be modest? So you go with the middle ground. And then the Torah helps us train ourselves to maintain that middle ground by pushing us off a drop, by telling us, the Torah says it's forbidden to be with your wife at certain times, it's forbidden to eat certain foods, it's forbidden to eat at certain times. By the fact that the Torah tells us this, so the Torah is helping us be people who contain themselves, be parush, separate, so to speak, from following, spending our lives being materialistic. Fine, you could say that way. There's a balance here. On the one hand, the Torah is the truth. That's the best way to live. And together with that, the Rambam is saying, when it comes to traits, the Torah is what's helping us. The Torah is training us to the good traits. Now, the good traits are going to be the middle ground. And sometimes we say a good person is going to be a drop off the middle ground in order to maintain the good traits. So the Torah keeps us a drop off of the middle ground. If a philosopher came and truthfully tried to discover what is the middle ground, he would not end with the Torah. That's what the Rambam is telling us. That the Torah is telling us something which is a drop off of the middle ground. Now that same philosopher might recognize that if he really wants to be a good person, he has to be a drop off of the middle ground to distance himself from his natural tendencies. And then he too would go drop off of the middle ground. What the Rambam is developing is that we don't need to go beyond what the Torah told us. If the Torah told us that certain foods are permitted and certain foods are forbidden, so it's enough what the Torah forbade. Don't say, okay, I'm only eating bread and water. That's not the idea. The Rambam is saying the Torah already is helping you maintain that middle ground by telling you you can't eat whenever you want. Friday night, you finish shul, you have to make kiddush, then you could eat. You're containing yourself. So the Torah is helping you maintain the middle ground. Yom Kippur, you cannot eat. There are times when a person, you wake up in the morning, pray and then eat. So there are certain things that the Torah did forbid us. A person doesn't have to say, I won't eat at all. No, eat, enjoy. Eat in a holy fashion.
Wasn't Rabbi Sam today talking about recognizing our Mida? The person's... Yeah, right? And because everyone has a Mida. And then balancing. Hence, dropping off one way or another, so as to correct the mida.
Right.
Wasn't that what he was talking about?
So you're saying that there he's concentrating on this concept of mida and not so much halakha.
Well, through halakha,
right.
Because that's why he was using the illustration of Abraham and Lot. You know, because Lot's mida was very different from Abraham's mida.
I'm listening. I wasn't there. I don't know what he said. No, it's interesting. I didn't hear it.
If we need to get in the middle, but we're already on this extreme, and we need to get to the middle, by aiming to get to the middle, we're probably not going to get there. So we need to aim a little bit further to the middle, to the right here.
The Rambam had said...
You are saying here, really different, that there are places where the middle in itself, like with personal trait, but when it comes to halakhic issues, you have to strive a bit off and...
Oh, so we didn't get to that yet. We also have to discuss where do gzirot come into the picture. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the Avot, Vasu siyag la-Torah, distance yourself. The Torah says you shouldn't eat meat with milk, so distance yourself. Don't even put meat and milk on the same table. So that our rabbis instituted. So how does that come into play? So what our rabbis instituted? So okay, that's part of their job. Their job is to help us keep the Torah. But what about us? What are we supposed to do? So that deserves a class in and of itself. We'll see it as much as the Rambam will address it. And we're going to have to leave that. We can't do everything here.
Yeah, because just for this issue, that is very important. Like when you're saying today, I mean, this concept, like when any new Xerah is coming, let's say in the rich community, you go up into, let's say, not Meshem is one place, you bring to, they have zero that the rabbis have contributed. Where is that concept that he's saying here, that you go a bit off the normal way, but here it says a drop. How do you measure it? And you're saying over the years, things seem to be getting all the time more and more stricter in Judaism, in some issues.
We could answer it on one level. It won't be enough,
but, okay.
But on one level we could say that there part of what the Torah built into the Torah is that ushmatem nishmati, watch my Torah, watch that you don't transgress. How do you watch it? You say, if I'm not supposed to do work on Shabbos, so I'm not going to go to the last second. I can't make sure that I get the last second. People sometimes are shaving 3 minutes before Shabbos. You can't do that. You don't know the exact second when Shabbos comes in. You have to distance yourself a few minutes earlier. Yeah, that's halacha, by the way, that a person has to go a few minutes before Shabbos. He has to stop doing work. Yeah? Tosefet Kedusha. It's a Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. It's halacha and Shulchan Aruch for sure. Any holiday, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, even Shemitah, a person has to distance himself, stop a little bit beforehand. A person can't go to the line. So even though the Rambam's telling us we shouldn't be stringent on ourselves beyond what the Torah says, I don't think the Rambam here is coming to exclude distancing ourselves a little bit just to ensure that we maintain the Torah. The Rambam is just saying that the laws of the Torah are here to help us. They're enough. You don't have to invent new things. If the Torah...
That's my question. What is a little bit?
Oh, so that
stray from...
So that's what I said. So we'll answer it generally, and we can't go into all the details. Yeah. That deserves a lot of learning, but... The general answer is that that's where the rabbis have, they've learned the Gemaras, they've learned, and that's why the rabbis are the ones that have to institute things. If a person wakes up and says, I'm not going to eat soy dogs, because they're like hot dogs. I'm not going to eat hamburgers, because it has the word ham. People think I'm eating ham. People could invent all kinds of things for themselves. But there we tell them what the Rambam just said. The Torah told you what's forbidden. The Torah told you what's permitted. Don't invent new things. The rabbis might tell us, you know, you shouldn't eat a soy dog together with a cup of milk, because someone who's looking at you is going to think you're eating hot dog with milk. Either they'll say that or not. But there, that's what something that they have to take the whole picture into account and take in the rules of how we decide when yes and when not, and then decide if they have to apply it here. But if they'll apply it, it's just because it has to be applied. The sages themselves limited themselves as to how many gzerot they make. So much so that one opinion says that there is a biblical prohibition for the sages to make a gzerah that's beyond what's necessary. Meaning, why can the sages make a gzerah? Because the Torah says, "Watch my Torah." Meaning, do watchings, make gzerot. But let's say they make a gzerah legzerah. They say, okay, you're not supposed to do work on Shabbos. So we're going to say you're not allowed to touch a hoe. If you move a hoe on Shabbos, you'll end up using it. So we're going to say, let's say you can't even you can't touch the door to the shed because you might end up touching the hoe, the rake, the shovel. So that's going too far. That's a gzerah legzerah. That's you have a gzerah, and you add a gzerah on top of that. So then there are certain opinions that say that's biblically prohibited. The Torah forbids that.
Just as an example of what you're saying, because I'm confused on something. Isn't there a halakha concerning dancing on Shabbat?
Okay.
Is there? I've learned that there's a halakha against dancing on Shabbat.
There are two opinions in the Rishonim about whether it's applicable today, and two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, but there is such an halakha. Right. Yeah.
So maybe the reason was wrong that I heard, but I didn't hear it, I read it, but maybe my memory is wrong. That that concerns the gazette on music.
So that leave, you know, we could deal with it tonight, right? Just in the question answer session. That's getting into specifics. So remind me, right? We'll deal with that.
See my question?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. it's a long answer. So we've digressed.
All right,
so let's get back to the Rambam and then later get back to that. What?
I'm gonna write it down.
Yeah, good. No, write it down. I'll get back to it. וכן כל מה שבא בתורה מנתינת המעשרות. So too, everything that the Torah tells us to give a tithe, to give a tenth to the coin, to the levy, והלקט, and that if you drop something as you're harvesting, leave it for the poor, והשכחה, and if you forget a bundle, leave it for the poor, והפאה, leave the corner of the field for the poor, והפרד והללות, similar halachas when it comes to grapes, ודין השמיטה והיובל, the laws of Shemitah, the seventh year, leaving the land fallow, Yovel, the 50th year, Vatzdakah, Dei Machsoro, the Torah tells you when you give tzedakah, give the poor as much as he needs. Obviously, these have halachos, doesn't mean that The guy comes knocking on your door and he says, I don't have money to feed my kids, I don't have money to pay for tuition, so give me $3,000 right now. That's not what it means. I'm just saying, don't derive halachas from this, because we're not learning halachas. But there is such a halacha that sometimes we have to give the poor as much as they need. Kol ze karov lepizonut kedei shenitrachek migvul achiliyut. All of this, the Torah telling us, give ma'aser, give like it, give a tenth, give the poor, give your whole land on the seventh year. That's to help a person be a generous person. Because a person's tendency is to be miserly.
Are we supposed to give as much as he's used to having?
That's another halacha. There is such halacha, yeah. Again, the application... we have to discuss the application of all of these, because there are many laws. How do we balance all of them? So the Torah wanted to distance us from being miserly. Merchak gadol, a large distance. Ve'nitkarev l'gvul ha'pizonut, and the Torah wanted to bring us closer to being extra giving. Kedei shetitchazek v'anu midat ha'nedivut, to strengthen the trait of being a giving person. This way you could look at most mitzvot. You'll find that the mitzvot are there to strengthen the strengths, the good traits in the soul. For example, the Torah said, don't take revenge. Person monetarily damages you, don't take revenge and damage him monetarily back. Torah says, don't take revenge, don't even hold it again, don't hold a grudge. Azov ta'azov, if you see your enemy and needs help, help him load his animal. Hakem takim, help him uplift his animal. Kedei shechlesh koach harogez v'akas, to help us weaken the strength of anger within us. When a person has a tendency to be angry, the Torah tells him, overcome that. You see your enemy's animal is in pain, is suffering under the load, help him out. V'chen hashef teshivem, so to the Torah said, you see he lost an object, return the object. Kedei shtesut tchunat ha-tzaykanut, to remove that bad trait from within us. I don't know how to translate the word tzaykanut. How do they translate it? Okay. V'chen mipnei sivat takum ve'adarta pnei zaken. So too the Torah says, you should stand from an elder, you should honor an older person. Kabed et avicha, honor your father. Lo tesum nadvar she'agidu lecha, what our sages say you have to listen to. Kedei shtasut tchunat ha'azut, to remove the trait of brazenness from within us. People have a tendency to be brazen. It's a natural tendency. It starts when a person's a teenager and it almost never ends. So the Torah tells us, honor your parents, honor the elders, honor the rabbis. Why? To help us overcome that trait. V'tusak tchunat ha'busha, and this way we'll attain the good trait of being people who get embarrassed when we do things that are improper. לכן אחרי גם מן הקצק האחרון, כלומר, ההחלמות, ומה הוכח תוכח תמתך ולא צהל להפחת. Also, the Torah told us, we should rebuke our fellow man, לא תגור מפני איש. We shouldn't be scared of anyone. If this is what's right, we should do what's right. We should, the court has to rule correctly. כדי שתשום מן ההחלמות, Torah wanted to distance us from being too embarrassed. Sometimes a person's, people are too scared of people, and it's not right. So the Torah tells us, no, don't be scared. If someone does something wrong, you should rebuke him. V'nishal b'derech ha'mutzat. So the Torah brings us to the middle path. V'im ba adam ha'sachal b'li safek v'chashav lo'sif adurim elu. And if a person who undoubtedly is foolish wants to add on to what the Torah told us, kigon she'yasor ha'ochel v'ashtiyah yiter mimash ne'esam ma'achlot, he'll say, I don't eat these foods, I don't drink these drinks. He wants to forbid more than the Torah forbade. V'yasor ha'nisuin yoter mimash ne'esam min ha'biyot, and he'll say, I say, don't marry, don't be with your wife on 3 weeks out of 4. So he wants to forbid things beyond what the Torah forbids. V'iten kol mamono la'aniim, or he says, give all your money to the poor. Or la'kdish yoter al ma she'yesh b'Torah min ha'tzedakah, or he wants to give more tzedakah than the Torah says we should give. V'ekdeshot v'erchin, he wants to give more than the Torah says you should give the temple, etc. Harei zeh oseh ma'aseh ra, he's doing an action which is bad, says the Rambam. V'ino yodeh shu yimtza b'kzeh echad v'yetzeh min ha'mitzua legamah, and he doesn't know that he's going to find himself at one of the extremes, and he'll leave the middle ground completely. ויש לחכמים בעניין זה דברים שלא ראיתי מעולם יותר נפלאים מהם, והוא בגמרת בני מערבה בתשעים דנדרים. And the Gemara says, he says there's a Gemara in the Jerusalem Talmud that says, דיברו בגנות המחייבים את עצמן שבועות ונדרים. The Gemara speaks how disgraceful it is, the people who take on vows, they swear to do all kinds of things, עד שנשארים כמו אסירים. They put themselves into bondage, the Gemara says. A person takes a vow about certain things, he's putting himself into bondage. V'sham amru rishon zeh, and in the Jerusalem Talmud it says the following, Ravidi b'shem Rabbi Yitzhak, Ravidi quoted Rabbi Yitzhak, lo deyecha ma sha'asa lecha Torah. The Jerusalem Talmud says to a person, don't you have enough with what the Torah forbade? Isn't that enough? Haven't you had enough? You have to forbid other things. And this, says the Rambam, is exactly what we came to say, and you don't have to add or take away. This is exactly our point, what it says in the Jerusalem Talmud. So the Rambam says, to summarize what we saw today, that a person sometimes thinks, I'll add things, I'll distance myself, and really he's trying to imitate other religions. In truth, it's enough what the Torah told us, and the Torah is helping us. The Torah and our rabbis gave us enough to keep us balanced and keep us in the right path. And a person shouldn't try to look for new things to make his life more difficult. Yes?
If a person's like, I'm not going to have sex three out of 4 weeks, wouldn't that also be forbidden? I kind of like, what if his wife wants to have sex? Isn't that permitted?
If she wants, but...
Now he's forbidding her to have sex.
That's true. That's true, but she could forgo what he owes her. Meaning, assuming that that weren't the issue, assuming that she was willing to forgo it, so then he would also be running into the problem. Ram says that he's developing bad traits. Yes? Okay. Now,
brothers.